Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Let's pray and then we'll get into Romans 5. Almighty God, you sit in heaven and you do all that you please, because all that you please is good and right and perfect. And so as we live within your world where so much is not right, is not good and is not perfect, would we hear your gospel again afresh tonight, so that we might trust you, that when you promise that we are going to be okay, that we are actually reconciled to you, that we would believe, we would walk and live in the faith that we have. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen. Well, here is an old saying we don't hear much anymore. In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Which I guess is a very subtle way of saying, in this world, there is a whole bunch of uncertainty. Yeah, if you're one of these Uber planners, you know, you've got every 30-minute time slot in your day all planned out. Well, there's one thing you cannot plan for: interruptions. That car accident, the sore throat, the family member that has a meltdown. Life is full of uncertainty, which inherently means life is full of suffering. See, that saying should actually be, in this world, nothing is certain but death, taxes, and suffering. Welcome to church. Aren't you glad you're here? Look, so we know death is certain. So we know that wills are important, powers of attorney are important, enduring guardianship is important. We know that taxes are certain, so we know that it's important to have our finances in order. How about suffering? If suffering is certain, do you have a plan for handling suffering? And here's the thing. The Christian faith offers the best resources for suffering. Now, before I go any further, I should actually back up a little bit. Welcome to our Term 2 Preaching and Point Group series in Romans chapters 5 through 8. I'm excited for it. I'm pumped for it. I hope you are too. Last year, we worked through Romans chapters 1 to 4. Last year, we learned that the gospel of Jesus Christ really is good news. First of all, we learn the bad news. We all deserve God's judgment for our sin. The good news is that God punished Jesus for our sin. So we can have forgiveness for our sin. And forgiveness for our sin is good news. But it wouldn't be good news if God just sort of turned a blind eye to our sin. If that was the forgiveness he was giving, sin doesn't really matter. That would be willy-nilly forgiveness, which would be evil, which would be corrupt. It would be frightening. But God did not turn a blind eye to our sin. God punished Jesus for our sin. That's why we have called our Roman series God's Righteous Gospel. God is actually righteous. He is just when he forgives us. And gospel simply means good news. God's righteous gospel. It is good news. That's Romans 1 to 3. And then Romans chapter 4 picks up on how God applies his righteous gospel into our lives by faith. You see, the only right response to grace, God's forgiveness is all of grace, the only right response to grace is faith. We don't try and do good works in order to earn God's grace. No, there's God's grace, and our response is one of faith. Romans chapter 4 could be summarized under three words: justification, by faith. There's a three-word summary of the gospel. And there you go. I just did a summary of Romans 1 through 4. Why did we take 10 weeks last year? Have a look at the very first verse of our passage for today. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, tonight we are going to learn one of the very important implications of justification by faith. Because we are justified by faith, we can face suffering. Not with a fatalistic resolve, not with a pessimistic grumbling, not with a masochistic excitement, but with an eager expectation that God will grow us. God grows his children through suffering. And so here's how we're going to tackle Romans 5, 1 to 11 tonight. Firstly, we're going to see that justification by faith gives us the greatest gift in the whole wide world. And if you're hearing any echoes of Colin Buchanan, that's deliberate. Hands up, who grew up on Colin Buchanan? Let's go. He is my favorite theologian. All right. Then we're going to see that the greatest gift frees us to rejoice in sufferings. The "in" is all caps. It's deliberate. And then finally, we're going to see that the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that we must saturate ourselves in. And so where we're headed tonight is the greatest gift, rejoice in suffering, and wake, walk, eat, sleep, talk in it. The "it" being the gospel. And yes, that's from Colin Buchanan as well. So this is going to be fun tonight. All right. Firstly, the greatest gift. Read from verse 1 with me. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift in the whole wide world is peace with God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it begins with the bad news. Romans 1:18, we looked at this last year. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. The bad news is we all, by nature, suppress the truth. All of us would rather worship creation rather than the Creator. We all live under the mantra, my life, my rules, rather than God's world, God's rules. And because of that rebellion, we're all under the wrath of God. That's the bad news. The good news is God sent his Son to live the righteous life we all fail to live. But when Jesus died on that cross, God punished him for our sin, so that anyone who would turn to Jesus in repentance and faith would have their sins forgiven. But anyone who does not turn to Jesus in repentance and faith will suffer the punishment their sin deserves in hell. Now, Jesus describes hell as a place of eternal fire, of weeping, of gnashing of teeth, of eternal torment. Hell is our worst nightmare, which makes peace with God the greatest gift in the whole wide world. And just like the old TV commercials used to say, but wait, there's more. Look at verse 2. Through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access, by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, there are two huge promises in verse 2. Firstly, we have access to the grace. We have access to the Father. You see, peace with God is not like some peace treaty between two warring nations. A peace treaty between warring nations actually doesn't bring those nations together. It just helps them stay apart without warring. But peace with God brings us access to the Father. As we're going to see in a few moments, in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 5, we see that Jesus has actually reconciled us to God. We're in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then in a few weeks' time, when we get to Romans chapter 8, we're going to discover that God has adopted us into his family through Christ. We're sons and daughters. Brother, sister, we have access to the Father. The greatest gift in the whole wide world is peace with God. Now, sure, we don't have that full access now. There's this now but not yet tension to our access to God. We're waiting for Jesus to return, which makes the second promise of verse 2 so important. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's think about the hope first and then the glory. When we put our hope in God, we are putting our hope in someone who has always kept his promises. God always keeps his promises. This is captured beautifully in Lamentations chapter 3 from verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Great is God's faithfulness. Perfect is God's faithfulness. Every promise God makes, he keeps. He keeps his word. He is faithful. He's perfectly faithful. Bringing that back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's a certain hope. God always keeps his promises. Do you remember last term when we were in John's Gospel? Jesus promised that, yep, I'm going away, but I'm going to return and take you to where I am. Jesus is going to come back and take his followers into the presence of God's glory. That's our hope, and it's certain, because great is God's faithfulness. That's hope. Now to the glory. Best estimates tell us that the Milky Way is made up of approximately 100 billion stars. Have you counted them all? These stars form a large disk whose diameter is 100,000 light years. I've got no idea how big that is. It's just a really long way, yeah? Now, just as the Earth goes around the sun, so our sun and its solar system goes around the center of our galaxy. And that single orbit takes 220 million years. But there's more. Best estimates are that there are somewhere between 100 and 200 billion galaxies in the world. That's right, our Milky Way is just one of at least 100 billion galaxies. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies are his handiwork. We sometimes do handiwork on the weekend, tidy up the garden, put up a new deck and admire our handiwork. When God put his mind to handiwork, hundreds of billions of galaxies appeared. Glory! Wow! Justification by faith is a beautiful doctrine. Because we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have access into a very presence of God. It is not a distant peace. We have access to the Father, and we know. We know. We know that one day this access is going to be complete. Our hope is going to give way to presence. Peace with God. Rejoice. We're now going to move to our second heading. Rejoice in suffering. And as I've already mentioned, that in is all caps. That's not a typo. Read verse 3 with me. Not only that. Now that is referring to the end of verse 2. The end of verse 2 says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Everyone should work out how they're going to handle suffering, because suffering is a certainty. One common response to suffering is to rejoice through suffering. You know, it's the stiff upper lip to suffering. That doesn't hurt me. It's not going to affect me. Don't let anything get to you. Just rejoice through your suffering. Well, let's play that out in a situation. Imagine a friend has hurt you. Someone who is your friend is now spreading gossip about you through the playground. That's suffering. But if your approach to suffering is, well, I'm not going to let that get to me, what you're actually saying is, that friend isn't much of a friend to you. You're cutting yourself off. And not only are you cutting yourself off, you're shrinking your heart. I don't care about them anymore. They've gossiped about me. That won't get to me. That's what happens when you rejoice through suffering. Another common approach to suffering is to rejoice for suffering. Now, this is, I think, becoming quite popular in our therapeutic culture at the moment. We encourage people to find their identity in their suffering. And at this moment, there is a whole bunch to fuel this victim mentality. All sorts of things to get us highly anxious as a society. Climate change, impending world war, housing affordability. That one's got all you high schoolers worried, doesn't it? An aging population, a mental health crisis, a domestic violence crisis, cost of living crisis. 10 years ago, we used to tell each other, I'm busy. Today, we tell each other, I'm overwhelmed. I'm anxious. Now perhaps rejoice for suffering. Rejoice isn't quite the right word, but what we're encouraging each other is to find our identity in our suffering. But note that verse 3 tells us that we are to rejoice in suffering, not through suffering, not for suffering, but to rejoice in suffering. Why in? Well, the verse goes on to tell us, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Let's go back to that situation where your friend has hurt you. Rather than cut ourselves off from feeling the pain, rather than from allowing that suffering to become our identity, we're to enter in the suffering, but in a godly way. We endure suffering, knowing that in the suffering, God will grow our character. Rather than grow all bitter, rather than grow all mopey, rather than grow all confident, I've got all of this. God will grow us in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as God grows our character through our suffering, our hope in God will grow. God uses suffering to grow our character and our hope. You see, suffering for the Christian is an enhancement, not a setback. That doesn't mean suffering's fun. We don't go looking for suffering. But when the inevitable suffering comes, we don't have to deny it. We don't have to run away from it. We don't have to wallow in it. We can grow by it. And actually, it's even better than that, because the promise is that God will grow us. Let's read from verse 3 again. And not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, we have a capacity to face suffering that we never had before we were Christian. The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The next time you find yourself thinking, I cannot take this anymore, use that as a trigger to get down on your knees and pray, Father, I am weak. Would you pour your spirit of hope into my heart? Now, I want to come back to the Christian approach to suffering. But first, we need to see how we're to wake, walk, eat, sleep, and talk in the gospel. Look back at verse 3. Do you see the word knowing halfway through there? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Knowing. 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 Us Christians know things. We don't just feel things, we know things. And there is nothing more important to know than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to see. This passage began with the gospel. Justification by faith. Do you see it there in verse 1? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that is a three-word summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This passage then went on to apply the gospel to suffering, which means we will not receive the benefits of suffering if we are not living in the gospel. If we don't know the gospel, if we forget the gospel, if we replace the gospel, suffering will crush us, not grow us. That's why Paul goes on to remind us of the gospel in verses 6 to 11. We'll quickly read through them. Romans 5, 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not because we're special, not because we're strong, not because we had it all together. No. We were weak. We were ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. That's a tricky verse. Commentators are split over it. Is the righteous and the good person the same person, or are they two different types of people? Guess what? It doesn't matter too much. The point is this. Yeah, every so often someone will die for someone, but where the verse is going to go to, but we don't die for scumbags unless you're God. Verse 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. Some of you might remember the Jack Miller quote from back in February I shared with you. Cheer up. You're a worse sinner than you ever dared imagine. And you are more loved than you ever dared hope. That's the gospel. It's the bad news and the good news of the gospel. It's Romans 5, 6 to 11. Christ died for the weak and for the ungodly and his enemies. But once we put our faith in him, we are loved with a love that we could never ever hope for. We're reconciled to God. We have access to the Father. We have peace with God. That's the gospel. The gospel is the garden, not the gate. The gospel is the marriage, not the date. Not the reservation, it's the flight. More than just the sunrise, it's the light. Wake in it, walk in it, eat, sleep, and talk in it. If you believe in it, walk, live in the gospel. Colin Buchanan is awesome. Listen, this world is broken. The Bible story tells us what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with other people, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with me. But the Bible story also tells us of a hope that is able to help us rejoice in the sufferings that go hand in glove with this broken world. As Christians, we don't have to deny suffering. Denial only cuts us off from ourselves and from other people. We can weep with those who weep because we know their suffering is real. As a matter of fact, we feel suffering more than anyone because we know this world is not meant to be broken. So what does it mean to rejoice in suffering? Well, firstly, it's not bring it on, pile on the pain, I laugh in the face of adversity. No. As a matter of fact, rejoicing in suffering requires us to think less of ourselves and more of our King. Look at the end of verse 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If you wake in the gospel, if you walk in the gospel, if you eat, sleep, and talk in the gospel, if you live in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only will you find that Jesus is bigger and stronger than you, he is bigger and stronger than all your sufferings. In Jesus, with Jesus, we can endure suffering. Sure, starting off, it's scary. It is hard. It is anxiety-inducing. But endurance in the gospel, in the furnace of suffering, will grow character. God is refining character through suffering. God is burning away all the false hopes that we hold on to so that the only true hope is left. What do you do with suffering? Denial? That's just old-fashioned stoicism. Victimhood? That's old-fashioned fatalism. I've got this. That's old-fashioned masochism. No, no, no. Our only hope is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. Because such faith is in Jesus Christ. You see, we're weak. But he's strong. Wake in the gospel. Walk in the gospel. Eat, sleep, and talk in the gospel. You see, if we live in the gospel, not only will we find that Jesus is bigger and stronger than us, we will find that Jesus is bigger and stronger than all our suffering. Let's pray. Father, this world is broken. And we often turn to many solutions. We often leave you to be our last solution. Forgive us. Father, tonight would you remind us of just the extraordinary resources we have in the gospel of your Son. Father, I pray for anyone here tonight who, they're a Christian, but just feel like they're barely crawling through this world of suffering. Would we be a community that loves well? Father, I pray for anyone here tonight who is yet to come to your Son. Would tonight be the night where you save them? Father, we pray for all of us. Oh, that is, as you give us a glimmer of your glory, that we would step further and further and further into it. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.